Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did I tell you that we relaunched our TV podcast that is now called the Prestige TV Pod? We did it in time for Succession, which is launching in October. But there's so many good shows this fall. We got Yellowstone and Billions and Insecure. We have The Shrink Next Door. Is Mayor of Kingstown going to be good? We're going to be breaking all of it down. The morning show season finale, we are going to be here. Like, we're going to treat it like we treat the NBA playoffs. If there's a really good, prestigious TV show, we're breaking it down in this feed. Check it out. The Prestige TV Pod from the Ringer Podcast Network.
It's New York, New York, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
So, special edition of New York, New York. Yours truly, John Jastrzemski. We welcome in our pal. We haven't chatted in a couple of weeks, and there really hasn't been much to say with the New York Giants over the final 8 weeks of this regular season, but now we kind of have an idea. Dave Gettleman gets his retirement swan song, and according to most reports, Joe Judge will be back for the 2022 season. Danny Heifetz, aside from that, how we doing, buddy?
I don't know. Mrs. Lincoln, otherwise, how was the play? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can't talk about anything right now. This is crazy. I don't know what's going on. I mean, between our two teams, you guys firing Brian Flores, the Giants keeping Joe Judge.
Heifetz, yesterday, sorry to cut you off there. If I would have told you 24 hours ago that Brian Flores would be out in Miami and that Joe Judge would be retained as Giant head coach, what would I have had to have given you? 500-1 odds? 1,000-1 odds?
1,000-1? I don't
know.
I
would have given you 1,000-1.
It'd be off the board. I think that's the interesting thing about the Joe Judge decision with the Giants is that the calculus has changed a lot in the last 2 weeks, in the last 2 days. I mean, John Mayer, they kind of publicly suggested he was going to be back even like 2 weeks ago. And in that time, just since they said that, blown out by the Bears in a game that was embarrassing and non-competitive, really from the opening kickoff, basically. Like, they were never in that game, 29-3 to a team that just fired their own coach and GM because they needed to rebuild. And that team blew them out. And then you've got the whole Washington blowout, calling them clowns, the Washington clowns. And then they go in, and then Washington blows their doors off. And everything that happened, the Judge's embarrassing press conference, and then that kind of changes the calculus. And then now Brian Flores is available. And you think that maybe they'd go after, like, Judge, a Patriot staffer that actually has a track record of success in Brian Flores, unlike Joe Judge, and they keep Judge. It's like the calculus kept changing and they stuck with him anyway.
So my theory on this is pretty simple, Danny. I don't think John Mayer wanted to fire head coach. I think because of the McAdoo debacle and the Shurmur debacle and the fact that he was telling media members last year, I'm sick of hiring and firing coaches after 2 or 3 years. I think he kind of had it ingrained in his mind that no matter what was going to transpire, he knew Gettleman was going to be out at the end of the year, but he didn't want to make a coaching change. And I'm with you. The calculus changed on this. I was supportive of this head coach at the end of last year. I actually believed, and I was dumb enough to believe, the Giants had positive things working in their favor with the way they competed, with the way they finished last year, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it's as simple as, oh, well, Daniel Jones missed the final six games, and that's why the Giants were as non-competitive as they were. Nonsense. They're playing teams that are firing coaches. They're not in these games. They're running a 1960s offense. And that presser last Sunday against the Bears, Heifetz, that was the last straw for me. After hearing that and seeing that effort and basically making the argument, hey, everybody's a united front in this locker room. We're fighting. We love what we're doing here. We got the right culture in place. We have the right principles in place. And you look like that, who the hell in this town is going to take you seriously?
Yeah, I think Judge forfeited a lot of credibility in that press conference. I think he did with me, too. I mean, I think that when you come out and you basically preach professionalism and doing things the right way, and then you let that facade slip as long as he did, and basically being like blaming other people, blaming Pat Shurmur and past regimes of the Giants, saying the Giants quit on Shurmur. Meanwhile, the Giants, I mean, if quitting on a coach, I mean, they've scored one touchdown in like 35 possessions, this Giants team, you know, messing with Washington and then Ron Rivera clapping back and being like, how dare you? We've had tragedies here. I mean, it was unprofessional, quite frankly. But also, I think the bigger issue for me is that there is a world where I get why the Giants might want to keep Joe Judge, right? Like, they obviously screwed up with Gettleman. And then fundamentally, I think the real reason he's back is what you said about they're afraid of having too much turnover at coach, right? And they're afraid of being just like the Browns or the Jaguars or those other teams that they used to laugh at. And now they're realizing they're one of them. The flip side is much simpler and more real politique, which is they made Joe Judge co-marry Jason Garrett as offensive coordinator, right? Because that's what this team does. Like, Joe Judge didn't come out and hire Jason Garrett. They basically made an arranged marriage between Joe Judge, and they're like, we're afraid of your lack of head coaching experience. We want Jason Garrett to run the offense and groom Daniel Jones. And then since they hired Jason Garrett, the Giants literally are last in offensive touchdowns. And I think that Joe Judge was basically like, how are you going to fire me when the offense that you made me have was the worst offense in football, and I was handed a roster from Dave Gettleman who I didn't get to pick? Like, this is kind of ridiculous, and 24 guys went in injured reserve. I get that. But I think a lot of it gets forfeited when you're QB sneaking on 2nd and 9 and then 3rd and 12.
I mean, when we think about cowardly coaching, between Vic Fangio down 7, kicking a field goal on Saturday, which had my head spinning, and sure enough, he gets fired the following day. I thought that would be the doozy of the week. I don't know, Danny. 2nd down and 3rd down quarterback sneaks with a 4-win team. That is as cowardly and as lame and as sad as it gets. That is a highlight now, or a lowlight, that we will be seeing now for the next decade. I know some Giant fans don't want to hear that. I know they probably don't want to compare to the butt fumble. Yeah, I'm going to go down that road,
dude.
It's just like a butt fumble, if not worse than the butt fumble, really.
You know, that's a good point. It's not like going to be as famous or whatever as the butt fumble, but the difference is the butt fumble was an accident. The Giants did, like, the QB snuck on purpose. And I know that it's one play, two plays. I want to link it here for a second, because I can be hyperbolic, but it was unprofessional. It is just not something you see in professional football, to forfeit a possession on like 2nd down. Also, I get the idea of like, oh, well, if we lose yardage, it could be a safety. They weren't that close to the end zone. It was the 4-yard line. They weren't on the 1. It wasn't like inches, and like, they were really worried. If you lose 3 inches right now, it's going to be a safety. 4 yards. You can't trust, I don't care who it is, if you have an NFL quarterback, I don't care how bad Jake Fromm is, if you can't trust him to not lose 4 yards when you're like, hey, Jake, don't lose 4 yards right here, that's not a professional football team. The irony that it went against the Washington football team is also ridiculous, because the Giants proved it. Like, they're the clown show.
Think about this for a minute. The Giants are going to be in cap hell. The Giants spent all this money in free agency, and it blew up in their face. I saw your tweet. I almost gave you a retweet. I honestly forgot. I had 10 zillion things going on. Beningo's calling me. I'm running around like a chicken without a head. But they go and sign Kenny Golladay to this big money contract. They go and give Kadarius Toney a first-round draft pick. And they, you know, trade down. They bypass the idea of taking a generational talent like Michael Parsons, for example. And where's the impact? Like, we think about the missteps, and we think about the regime of Dave Gettleman over the last 4 years. I mean, my goodness, Heifetz, he will go down as one of the most vilified and one of the worst executives in New York sports history. That is not exaggeration. That is not hyperbole. I've been doing this now a decade. I can't think of a GM outside of John Idzik. It's close. He wasn't here as long. And I actually think Gettleman might be worse because of Gettleman. The long-term decisions that he made. Inzik did not nearly make as many long-term decisions that just destroyed the franchise. He was only here for 2 years. Tough to find a GM that's worse than Gettleman in this town over 20, 30, 40 years. Really tough to do.
I mean, you talking about, I mean, talk about just the entire NFL. I mean, I think the only comp I'd even give to Gettleman in terms of destructive reigns for GM, I mean, maybe Bill O'Brien with Houston, teardowns. I mean, Bill O'Brien tried to get fired from Houston, basically, and couldn't do it, and then ran the team into the ground. When you look at Gettleman, it's about the Mara family, and we're going to come back to the Mara family. But Gettleman's tenure, in a nutshell, this is a guy who came in almost a big swaggering personality, like he knew everything. They weren't over 500 one day in Gettleman's
500? 500. I feel like they didn't play a meaningful game in a Gettleman regime. Not one.
Fundamentally what happened was they threw a bunch of resources at their problems and then failed to fix any of them. Like, you throwing first round pick a quarterback, need a quarterback. Throwing first round picks at a running back, still going to need a running back after Saquon's gone. Andrew Thomas, maybe he's all right. They got the third best tackle in that draft. You're talking about an offense that has eight players who are first or second round picks. 8 of 11 players, first or second round picks. I mean, none of those picks are even particularly good. Hopefully Andrew Thomas is a keeper. Kadarius Toney and Galladay, as you said, first round pick, $19 million a year, 0 touchdowns
insane.
Between the two of them.
That is insane, bro.
And not to mention, again, to come back to this, you hire Dave Gettleman, right? And in theory, the first couple years are bad. And then the second, the next three year four going to get better. Well, the last 2 years, year three, year four for Gettleman, you're talking about dead last in offensive touchdowns. The Giants have like 52 touchdowns in this year. Or sorry, the last 2 years. The next worst is the Jets, who have like 63, 64. Do you think about that? The Jets, who are the second worst team, have 20% more touchdowns than the Giants over the last 2 years. The whole point of football is to score touchdowns, JJ. Like, what are you doing with your time? That's my question for all these people. What is Joe Judge doing with his time if the Giants are outscored in the final 2 minutes of the first half, 79-0 this season? What are you doing with your time? What is Jason Garrett doing with his time if this is the last, if this team is dead last? And then they fire Jason Garrett, and then they've scored one touchdown since they fired him in the last month. It's embarrassing. It's obvious to blame Judge. It's obvious to blame Gettleman, but I think the Mara family is the real conversation.
I would agree with that. And here's my issue now as we go forward in this offseason. So they're going to save Joe Judge. And I saw this floated a couple of different places. Next year, let's see what the quarterback looks like. Maybe you have some answers there. Your cap situation's not as bad. You're more desirable. You're a better place to be. Blah, 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 blah. No, I couldn't disagree more. Now is the time to go and make a change, because you're going to start anew with the general manager. And what? You're going to have a general manager come in, evaluate Joe Judge for a year, and then we're basically doing the same song and dance next year. It's just, to me, Heifetz, it's wasting time in the NFL arc. This is the perfect time to start anew. This is the perfect time to clean house. And this sort of like disjointed way of, well, keep the GM or keep the coach, like they've gone down this road. Said goodbye to Tom, kept Jerry Reese. Then all of a sudden, you know, it's the idea of we're gonna fire Pat Shurmur and we're gonna keep Dave Gettleman. It's this never ending cycle.
Yeah, it's left
and
brain,
it's a
never ending
right cycle of failure, basically. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, it's left brain, right brain. It's like they're talking with two sides of their mouth, they're conflicted. I don't know if that's the Tish Mara thing where one sides are pulling, but they always do seem to make they're always half assing things, right? And they never full ass one thing. And that's what's frustrating with this team. I think that it's easy to sit here and be like, why are they bringing Judge back? I think that you got to flip it and look at it from the management perspective, because this team, 100 losses over the last 10 years.
That's insane.
Since they won the Super
For
Bowl.
For a franchise that's one of the most storied and proud in the NFL, in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
To have that sort of record attached to them. And listen, Francesca said this to me yesterday. We didn't live through late 60s into the 70s when the Giants were this laughing stock across the NFL. This is our generation's version of that in many ways, Heifetz. It really is.
Well, no, this is also, well, while you're there, I mean, this might be worse than that. I mean, this really is potentially rock bottom in Giants franchise history. I know that I'm on the younger side, but like, my grandmother, God rest her soul, she became a Giants fan in the 1950s when they played at Yankee Stadium. She missed single digit Giants games in like 50 or 60 years. And she said the last two or three seasons were the worst she had ever felt for the future of the franchise as a Giants fan. I mean, this is serious. I mean, they have the worst record in the NFL, tied with the Jets over the last 5 years. That's the 5-year window. And then this season, you can't tell me they'd be favored against any team in the NFL right now. You can't tell me that. Like, I'm trying not to be hyperbolic, but they are right now the worst team in the NFL. I do not think if they played at MetLife, they'd be favored against the Jets. They get steamrolled by the Lions. They get rocked by the Texans.
And after what we saw from Jacksonville yesterday, Jacksonville on their best day is going to beat them with this quarterback situation.
They're the worst team in the NFL. And like, that's the thing. So the flip side is, well, what about going forward? John Mara is the president. He's running the team. His brother, Tim Mara, is the vice president. Chris Mara is the vice president of player personnel. John Mara's nephew is the co-director of player personnel. You've got the family. It's a family business. These are all billion-dollar lemonade stands, right? These teams are family businesses. The family is intertwined with this player to personnel department. The Giants like to think that they're this old-school organization, and then these other teams are clown shows. The Giants are just as involved in meddling as the Cowboys. The difference is the Cowboys talk about it, but they actually internally do delegate
things. Well, they draft.
Things.
They know what they're doing in the draft. They get players.
They know what they're doing in the draft because they delegate. They have a guy named Will McClay. He's their head of player personnel. He's incredible at drafting, and he's the guy who's the brains of the operation. The Giants have not built this infrastructure within their organization. They've littered it with just, there's family members, and it's so dysfunctional and chaotic within that they're not drafting well, and it's not a desirable place to work, and they're not even getting good candidates. They don't even interview. They had interviewed one person last round for general manager when Dave Gettleman was hired. They only interviewed one person outside the team with no connections to the team. It's Louis Riddick. They don't even look outside the organization. They're not like a 21st century business.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Well, they have to look outside the organization for this next hire. They have to. If they're going to try and sell their fan base on Kevin Abrams, who's been here, who's been a part of this mess, and that's going to be your answer and your idea to solving the problems within the front office, then you're in for another 5-6 years of this crap, dude.
Michael Strahan said on Fox yesterday, and he tried to walk a thin line of like not being overtly offensive, but being stern. And his point is basically the Giants need to join the 21st century. Like,
yeah, he's right about that. He's right.
They need to change, and they need to learn to change their ways. And he basically was basically saying, or else the league will pass them by. Ipso facto, they need to, there are basic management practices. Interviewing people from outside your organization, but fundamentally, is they want to be told what's comfortable. They don't want to be told the truth, even if they may think that. If Dave Gettleman comes in and says, we can win with Eli Manning, this is back in 2017, and Louis Riddick's like, Manning's done. You need to get rid of him and you need to get a new quarterback. And they chose the easier path, the familiar path. We can still win with Eli. We can rebuild and we'll compete on the flat, please. Like that's your line to yourself. And now they're at risk of doing it again, right? They're going to get rid of Gettleman. They'll keep Judge. But that's the problem is they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear real assessments of their team.
Gut feel. Do you think they go outside the organization for the next GM? Gut feel. Right here, right now.
Yeah,
Monday afternoon.
I think
they'll go outside the organization. But when you say outside the organization, do you think this will be somebody who is simpatico with Joe Judge, or are you talking about somebody that has no connection to this head coach? That's my question.
I don't know, because honestly, hiring someone outside their orbit would be just such a huge change for them. So, it's already such a big difference. I don't think that they would want to bring one of Judge's guys in to manage. They have 2 first-round picks this year, because then if you fire Judge, you're kind of handcuffing yourself with this GM. And that's the other problem is, right? Let's rewind for a second. This is also the thing that infuriates me about this team. 3 weeks ago at this point, I think it was 3 weeks ago, they're like, we're going to bring Judge and Jones back for next year. Why would you say that? Because that's the problem. If Gettleman's out and you're going to hire a new GM, you're now telling the GM what they're going to have to do. You're handcuffing them. Like, you want to bring in a new GM and then you want them to decide on the quarterback and the coach.
Decisions on everything. That's what proper, reasonable, rational NFL franchises would do.
And that's
not that crap in the media.
In the beginning, we said calculus, the calculus with Joe Judge. I'm not good at calculus, but whenever I come
on
your show,
not my
I always
suit.
Talk about order of operations. PEMDAS, right? It's parentheses, exponents, like multiplication, division, and then add, subtract. It's like the order of the math matters. The Giants never get the order right. Why would you decide Daniel Jones is coming back and the coach is coming back, but now we're going to go hire a GM? What if the GM didn't want to bring Daniel Jones back now? Realistically, it's not that big of a deal. But that's the point, is that they need a GM who can actually make these big picture decisions, even if it's against the grain of what they wanted. They might have to cut bait on Daniel Jones. They might have to cut bait on Joe Judge. It's just frustrating to think that maybe a Jim candidate would have wanted to come in, but like, hey, I have another idea for a vision for this team, but I think this should be the coach. They're not listening to these alternative opinions. How is anything supposed to change if they're not listening? And why are they not listening? Because they're not accepting that who they are. To quote another great Giants coach, you are what your record says you are. You have the worst record with the Jets of the last 5 years. You're worse than the Jaguars, who now have the first pick in back-to-back years. Your record's worse than the last 5 years. You're worse than the Browns, who went 0-16 in that period. You're the worst team in football, but they have this arrogance left over from these Super Bowls. This is like the gift that keeps giving. The arrogance is that their way is still the way, and when in reality, they should be open-minded.
Do you get the sense fifth-year option picked up for Daniel Jones? I know we don't have a GM, so there's a lot of like questions with that. My thing, Heifetz, is if the Giants want instant credibility, there's only one way I think they get instant credibility immediately. That's if you go and get a superstar quarterback in the offseason. I don't know if that's possible. And I'm not saying that Russell Wilson would fix every problem with this team because they have deep-rooted issues. But for an ownership group that is just dying for a savior, for a ownership group that needs some sort of positive PR, I would not rule out the possibility they take those two first-round picks, call the Seattle Seahawks, say, hey, you interested?
I think that the Seahawks probably wouldn't accept the two first-round picks because they just traded away two first-round picks for Jamal Adams from the Jets. The thought of getting the same return for Russell Wilson that you gave away for Jamal Adams, I just don't think you can sell to anyone.
You couldn't sell it to me. No way. That's the thing. Not when I think Wilson's got 7-8 really good years left, but, you know, that's the thing.
I do too, but I just think Russell Wilson's too limited, and quite frankly, the Giants would be worse than any team Russell Wilson's ever had. I mean, the Seahawks roster, what they have around Russ right now is a lot better than what the Giants have, and he hasn't done much with them. I think Russ is a limited quarterback, and I actually don't think he's going to be worth 3 or 4 first-round picks. I'm not convinced unless, like, you're ready-made. I think the teams Russ could win the Super Bowl with or compete for a Super Bowl realistically, I think he could do that on the Browns, who have a loaded team aside from Baker. I think I'd be interested in Russ in New Orleans because Sean Payton has such experience with, like, short quarterbacks being 6 feet tall, and I think that Russ would be good in Pittsburgh. But, like, realistically speaking, I don't see why the Giants should be giving away all those first-round picks. I feel like it would be a Herculean task for Russell Wilson to get this team to 11 wins and, at like, a wild-card exit. So, to me, it's not worth it. But, like, I'm a little down on Russell Wilson, but I'm mostly down on the idea that this team should be swinging at anything.
Okay, so you don't want to swing for the fences. So, no. Basically, you want status quo next year with Judge, evaluation year with a new coordinator, and you take it from there, or are you picking up that fifth-year option?
On Daniel Jones?
Correct.
I think that the problem with Daniel Jones and the fifth-year option is this spine injury. Like, I mean, washed away in all this Joe Judge news.
Way too many games.
Washed away from all this news. It's like, what is with Daniel Jones's neck? Is he okay? Like, I hope he's all right, but, like, that's a terrible injury. And the thing with the fifth-year option is that it's injury guaranteed. So, like, it's kind of unknowable because, like, we need to know what the status is. I think my gut with these fifth-year options is, like, you kind of always want to pick them up. In my view, unless you really know, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's not my money. And, like, realistically, I know the Giants have a bad cap next year. Well, they're not going to compete next year and they don't have to retain any of these players because they're all the ones that are up aren't that good. We don't need to create space to bring Evan Engram back. I don't care about the cap. All cap problems can be fixed in 2 seasons. And this is more than a 2-year rebuild. But realistically, I don't think Jones has shown very much that they need to keep him. It's like, use these 2 first-round picks, get a pass rusher, get a tackle, or trade back for more first rounders. And then, like, try to get a guy from this 2023 class, realistically, a quarterback. But they're in such a bad spot. And honestly, these are all details. The key point is that until ownership, which includes the owner, but also the guy who's an owner who's also the head of the player personnel department with a team that famously can't get good personnel, and then the guy under him who's like the other guy's nephew. Like, these are the guys running the team who can't make picks. Until they open their minds to alternative ways of thinking, I don't think any of this is going to be fixed.
Okay, you're down on the Giants, rightfully so. I'm really down on the Giants. I need you to try to somehow, some way, paint a picture that would give you, Danny Heifetz, some sense of optimism over the next couple of months. What would that picture be?
They hire an exciting GM from outside the organization who's, like, well-regarded as a scouting guy, but also, like, into math and things that Gettleman dismissed. And then you want to go into this draft, and I want to come out with, like, a solid tackle to pair with Andrew Thomas, and I want to come out with a serious pass rusher. And then again, things to remember. I mean, they did have 24 guys in injured reserve this year. I think that was the most of any team. So you go in and hopefully Joe Judge, like maybe we're wrong. Like maybe Joe Judge, once he's freed from Jason Garrett and they have a better offensive coordinator, maybe the offense does look better. And maybe it does look better. 8 guys in this offense who were drafted in the first and second round. It can't be understated that Jason Garrett got to run this offense and Daniel Jones. That to me is like the optimistic case, is that there's nowhere to go from up from last in touchdowns.
Before we say goodbye, I am still flabbergasted with the news of my team today. I mean, my goodness. God. Like, I woke up to like 10 zillion text messages about Brian Flores being let go. And like I said, I would have given you 1,000 to 1, 500 to 1, whatever the crazy odds might have been on that. My thought is something had to be going on internally, because if you're looking from a record standpoint, the Dolphins hadn't had back-to-back winning years since 2002 and 2003, right? Yes. They have back-to-back winning seasons this year. They were 1-7. They turned their season around, limited offensively, and yet they're making a coaching change at the end of this year. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
What am I missing?
I don't
here?
Understand.
What am I missing?
I don't exactly as you said. Like, you hit it on the head. I don't understand how you can have your first two winning seasons in almost 20 years and fire the coach, especially when you go on the 7-game winning streak. It is mind blowing. I look, frankly, I hope Brian Flores gets like another great job, whether it's Denver, the Raiders. Those are probably two.
He's gotta
really
be
good
careful
jobs
though. That's the one thing though, Heifetz. He's gotta be careful now about that next job. Because we've seen that with guys. Mangini went right to Cleveland. It was a disaster. Rex, after a good run with the Jets, went to Buffalo, had no quarterback. I'd be very picky if I'm Brian Flores about what my next job is going to be. Very, you know, picky.
And the elephant in the room here is also is that he's a black coach that got fired that was doing perfectly well. And like, it's always hard to apply race to a given situation. But when you look aggregate at the league, obviously there's not enough black coaches in the NFL. And there's obviously a thing where sometimes coaches or assistants getting hired to a spot are always held to a higher standard. And I think that it is wild that now we have two incompetent teams, the Lions and the Dolphins. The Lions fired Jim Caldwell, I believe, off two winning seasons, hired Matt Patricia, who didn't win as many games as Caldwell did in his like last season, in two seasons combined for Patricia. Now we've got another defensive coach. You got Brian Flores, who has, what is that? Is it 18 wins for Brian Flores or something like that in the last 2 years? The Dolphins would probably be lucky if they can get back to that in the next 3 or 4, quite honestly. I'm just blown away that they would get rid of him.
Yeah, and now you're hearing Jim Caldwell. How about, we talk about tying it full circle. Could you imagine Dolphins hire a 67-year-old head coach? I mean, are you kidding me? You go walk trying to sell that.
Caldwell turned around the Lions.
I like Jim
Caldwell.
Listen,
winning record,
Jim Caldwell 5 years ago would have been fine. I can't have him at 67 years old. What's your end game there, Heifetz? What's your future? He's going to coach a team for 5 years?
That's a fair point, because obviously he did step away from the Dolphins for health-related reasons.
Well, and you
got
to wonder, if he stepped away, was there something going on there with he and Brian Flores? See, that's what I'm trying to figure out now with this whole situation. Because then he got back in the following year and took a job, no problem. So was it health related? Was it? I don't know.
I don't know about that, but I think that, put it, as Kevin Clark said earlier today, if you fire your coach and then your coach is immediately like the number one guy on the job market, you probably should not have fired.
Yeah,
your coach.
It's a mistake. Listen, right and now,
I wish the Giants had Brian Flores. I think the fact that they kept Joe Judge, even though Flores is now available, but then soberly, as Cerruti said to me earlier today, why would you work with the Giants when you got all these other jobs? Wouldn't you rather go to Minnesota if you're a head coach? Wouldn't you rather go to Minnesota? Wouldn't you rather go to maybe even the Bears? You'd definitely rather go to Denver. You'd rather go to the Raiders. Would you rather go to Jacksonville? I mean, at a certain point, why do you want to go work with this team and like be beholden to this front office that's like this family business, deal with the New York media in like a pretty unwinnable situation with what is right now, today, Monday, January 10th, the worst team in the NFL?
Heifetz, I can't find you a situation in the NFL that's worse. I'm dead serious. That includes the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Houston.
No.
No, Houston is better.
Because
at least Houston's
they're
going to
get a couple
slate.
Of picks for Deshaun Watson at some point in time.
Yeah.
And I think they have more to work with. I don't know. Maybe that's me being in the New York bubble and just making it seem that much worse than it actually is. No, I'm not. It's actually as bad as it is. Who are we kidding? So let that sink in. Next 5 years, you're on like that bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the barrel. It's hard. It's hard to imagine, bro.
Also, what a weird state with all the coaches in New York right now. Think about how the thin ice that Boone is on for the Yankees. Get judged with
is
the
he
Giants.
On thin ice? He just got an extension.
But the fans, though.
Well, listen, the fans can't stand him. That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
Any fan who has half a brain can't stand him.
And let's be real.
That's also the Yankee front office and their mentality, which is also tough to take.
There's a lot.
Beat me down, bro. Beat me down. Maybe at some point I will actually have some excitement with teams that are in this city, that are in this town. And I know the Net fan is probably listening and saying, hey, JJ, my team, blah, blah, blah. Be quiet. I don't want to hear from you people. We'll talk to you during the playoffs. Listen, Heifetz, don't be a stranger. And I hope my team hires Doug Peterson, by the way. That's who I want.
Best of luck.
Yeah, I'm going to need it. Later, buddy.
Peace.
All right, that was fun. State of the Giants, which is an absolute nightmare with Danny Heifetz. We're back tomorrow. It's a loaded week. Charles Davis is going to join us. We got trivia. We'll have a reaction to Alabama and Georgia in the national championship game and a ton of voicemails. Get me your reaction ASAP. 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 Number to do so is 917-382-1151. JJ out. Be good, everybody.